listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber.
And we are going to be floating through the new series, rewatching with you. Please get a warm tea or a
cold press. Get a blanket. And curl up right now with something comfortable and something emotional.
Like a Nicholas Sparks novel or Friday Night Lights, the TV show that you can watch after you watch Sex and the City.
Maybe you're in a bathtub full of Epsom salts.
So much content these days can be stressful to listen to. We want the Bradshaw Boys to be a time of peace, relaxation and comfort as we go through the series together.
Breathe in
the blue and out the red.
Breathe out the red, in through the nose and out through the mouth. Clear your chakras and get ready.
We always end up doing ASMR intros in our new rewatch. Is that just like what we do now?
I think that's like we're post information. And just we're completely into ASMR. We're out of the head and into the body these days.
That's right.
Yeah.
We bring such, we just never know what sort of energy that we are going to bring to this podcast. And we want ourselves centered so that we can center all of our insights to bring you joy and
speaking
peace.
Of insights, Kevin, could you read the last text that you sent my wife and context behind it?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna read it without any context first. Okay.
This is what Katie woke up to in the morning.
The last text I sent to John's wife Katie just said, "Have fun eating out, Vaxy girl."
Oh, and gosh.
Who's Vaxy Girl and why is Katie eating her out?
Now, I looked at that this morning. I was like going searching for a text, and then I saw that the last text that I sent her was "have fun eating out, Vaxy Girl." And I was like, why would I, what horrific thing am I sending to John's wife, my friend Katie? And then I realized that what I was trying to do, we were talking about how she was going to get dinner. And
for the first time in a year, and
for the first time in a year, because she was able to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And that was our conversation before. And so I literally was trying to say, like, have fun getting dinner, vaccinated person. And then, and instead, I just like sent it off real quick, like, have fun eating out, Vaxy girl. And I didn't even know what I meant later. I was just like, what? Oh my God.
The funny thing is what that says about you. Because, like, you are the type of person that just out of the blue would be like, have fun jerking off, Jungle John. Just like, be like, what the hell are you talking about? And be like, you were being rude and you were going to Zaire. It's like, you're drunk. It's just like, it makes sense. And just
Kevin
like,
is very big. Yeah, Kevin is in this. This only comes out of like a positivity thing, but you're very big on giving things nicknames and trying to establish them, but you don't ever tell the other people what the nicknames are first. So like one time you and I were meeting up and I was coming from Manhattan and I used to live by this one stop, which is the Barclays Center stop. It used to be called Atlantic Pacific way back in the day before the Barclays Center was built. And I'm on a downtown train being like, where do we meet? And just giving it says, yeah, dog, meet at PAC. And I was like, where am I getting off the train?
Where is PAC?
I was like, what? And it just said all caps PAC. Yeah. And I was like, is that a college?
Local Action Committee? Is that
what am I doing?
Did you mean Pacific?
I think he meant Pacific because the station used to be called Atlantic Pacific.
I think in general,
it was just 6 years after they tore that station down and rebuilt the basketball stadium.
I think I just desire authentic close connections with people, and
you do
not things that, and I don't have the patience to build them. So I just want to jump straight to intimacy. Just be like, hey man, yeah.
Speaking of intimacy, Kevin and I, we got some steps in yesterday. We went out for a walk.
Oh man,
I got steps with both my boys.
Yeah, you did.
You cheated on me with Corey. You got some steps with Corey too.
We got a little hour long nighttime step in last night.
I walked directly from our steps to Corey's house. Got some steps in with him,
bro.
Look on your phone right now and see how many steps you got yesterday.
I don't use that. I should though.
Well, you can just still look. I'm gonna check out my steps.
I think it tracks you no matter what.
How many steps did you walk on Sunday, March 7th?
Is it on health?
It's on health. Dude. Yeah.
15,300 was my step count.
Whoa. Today. Oh, that's my favorites. I was like, I didn't get that many today. Why does it give you a favorites? My favorite step is like 9,867 steps. That's my favorite steps to walk. I don't know how you find it though. This is a fascinating podcast content.
25,000 steps.
You did 25K yesterday, Cap?
Yeah.
Dang, bro. How would
24,826. I did a little roundup. I want to be honest here.
Hey, that's fine, dude. That's a lot.
Dude, I was stepping.
Dude, it's like counting steps became like just out of the middle of nowhere. It's like my mom had like a Garmin or what's the thing that everyone, like all the moms have?
Fitbit.
Yeah, Fitbit.
How much is a like, Fitbit? Fitbit is such a Miranda device.
Yeah, it's a complete Miranda device because she has to have it, like, because her like firm started a thing where it's like, all right, if you guys get this many, then like you'll get a free coffee card for the place downstairs. And so she like tries to power walk her steps when she's mad at Steve so that she can get more free coffee or something like that.
But I feel like she would have an Apple Watch and a Fitbit.
Probably so,
right? Like
how long do you think she hung on to a BlackBerry before she switched, before everyone in the world switched to iPhone?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Everyone in the like world besides one.
Her?
What? I don't get it.
Some people just still have BlackBerries.
Some people are just BlackBerry fans.
Do you remember BBM? That was the greatest.
BBM was like, that was the reason that people would not give up their iPhones, because it was essentially like iMessage, right?
You talking about like Big Bone Tom's brother, Big Bone Mike?
he'd eat bear claws all the time when he went to Anna Miranda. Yeah.
Really.
BBM was the first thing that had the like the red sign. Like it would have the check mark, like kind of how WhatsApp is now. I remember that was like psychologically. At the time, it just seemed like such a positive thing. And now it's just something that can drive you nuts.
This is a good question. All right. 2021, you have the four women in Sex and the City. What phones do they have?
Ooh, right now?
Yeah.
Charlotte has the
newest big iPhone in like a colorful case.
Yeah, but I could also see her having the one that doesn't have three cameras, but it's got like one or two. And it's like a new one, but... What?
I feel like she would take iPad pictures at her kids. Like,
oh, Charlotte is totally an iPad picture taker.
Completely.
If I'm at a wedding and someone's ripping iPad photos, I just want to get to know that person so bad.
Dude, I love it. Especially like an old iPad. So it's like enormous.
They're just blocking everyone's view with their big old pad.
Carrie has a shattered screen iPhone for sure. I don't know which model, but she definitely has a cracked screen and still doesn't have a case.
Okay.
Samantha has the pop-up thing on the back and is very savvy with how she holds it.
Oh, like the pop socket thing. It's probably like a metal pop socket, like one of those ones. It's like brushed rose gold or something like that.
It's a penis, and she just like puts her hand behind the two balls.
That see through hands. Miranda has a light phone because she leaves her phone at home during the weekends because she's on it so much.
What's a light phone?
Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was cutting you off.
I think it's a phone that connects to your iPhone, but it's just phone and message. So you can't like access social media or anything. So the point is like people like
there's no apps.
Especially now on their phones all the time for work. They like just pull out the light phone on the weekends or nights or whatever.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is it popular? Is it doing well?
It's the kind of It's sold out. They've had it for, they've had it around for years, and I always hear people talking about it, but I've never known anyone that's had, it's always the kind of thing that's people talk about where they're like, I think I'm going to get that light phone thing. I just feel like I'm on my phone too much. And then they never get it. They just keep posting to Instagram stories all the time. But it's, it costs like $250, I think.
Do you think they're going to continue to regress and just do mobile rotary phones?
It's $300.
They should. They added a media player, so it's like an original iPod. It used to just be text and call, and you could only have a certain number of numbers in it, I think, at one point too.
Interesting.
And they've kind of upgraded it to be like a very streamlined smartphone. It kind of looks like a touch it kind of looks like the iPhone 5 with a little iPod built into it.
You can still listen to podcasts on it, though. So for all you light phone listeners, you can still listen to the Bradshaw Boys.
The boys will be on your light phone. Trust me.
It's so funny. You're saying Miranda would have a light phone?
Yeah, because Steve's fed up with how much she's on her phone during the week.
Yeah, that's like a concession they make where it's like, Saturdays is light phone day, Miranda. You know that. Come on.
Here's a tricky one that I don't know the answer to. I think I might. What kind of phone does Stanford have?
Oh, good one. I think he's got an iPhone with a funny blinged out case.
Okay.
I feel like most of them would have iPhones.
It's so funny. There used to be so much variety.
I know.
Now it's just like, I mean, he just seems like a small phone type person. Like he doesn't seem like, maybe he has just like the iPhone 4 and with the old iOS. And he's like, I don't want to update this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just seems like a person that like has like a small phone. I think it's like the way he like stands is always like very like
compact.
Yeah. Very like closed in.
So what are we doing? What are we doing tonight? We're watching
the power of the female sex.
Power of female sex. I don't remember this one based off the title alone.
This one has Amelita in it. This is the one that has Amelita and Carrie meets her and gets her shoes. Is this the one where Carrie walks into the sky at the end?
That's the power of this female sex.
This is the one where Carrie goes out with the guy and she wakes up and there's just cash on the table, right?
Yes. Yeah. She wakes up, there's cash on the table. She wonders if like she has been treated like a high class prostitute or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like this is one we'll have to pay like a lot of attention to fashion because they right out of the gates they're meeting in a store where Carrie can't afford the purchase that she's making. Is she like at Chanel or something like that?
Don't her and Amelita go shoe shopping and something happens? Is that what happens at the beginning?
That's where like she sees Amelita for the first time because Carrie like her credit. I think her credit. I mean, we'll find out in a couple minutes, but I think like her credit card's not working or something like that.
Can I just say before we go watch the episode, we are doing everything we can to get your input on all these episodes, and so we have tons of polls and questions from our Instagram, and we have so much good information which we can go through. Like just a good example that we can talk about later is Amelita is Euro trash or fun, and we have the votes in of what you all think, and we'll tell you that after. And we have all kinds of responses like, would you rather be with Carrie or Amelita?
Is that something that they talk about in the show? Is she Euro trash or fun? Or is that something that we just pulled out of left field?
I don't know.
Did we just call her Euro trash on our Instagram for fun? Like,
we think Amelita is like, Euro trash. Let's take a poll and see if she's Euro trash or fun.
Is Debbie a complete bitch or hot? Is that in the episode? No, we just...
No,
and the answer, by the way, is hot.
Debbie's, so we have all those. Debbie's super nice.
So follow our Instagram in order to use all that stuff so we can talk about all that stuff. So that's just so that when you hear that, we don't record these like the day before necessarily. So just follow our Instagram and always vote on that stuff. And you can be involved in all of these wonderful discussions.
That's right. Also, we have said this before, but we're doing the full rewatch. The other episodes are on our Patreon. So this is episode 5. Episode 6 will also be out this week on the Patreon. So to listen to the full rewatch, you can check it out on Patreon. For $5 a month, you get twice the episodes. And I would say stuff gets even goofier on the Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're pretty buttoned up on the normal feed.
But it doesn't totally get goofy. It gets exactly how it gets when we're about to watch the episode, which is very relaxed and very in a good space to enjoy television and feel at peace so that we can enjoy the storytelling of the four women and the fifth character, New York City.
The most relaxing place of them all.
Everyone, please enjoy season 1, episode 5, The Power of Female Sex. Goodbye.
Episode 5, The Power of Female Sex. Carrie bumps into international party girl Amelita and her latest man, who in turn introduces her to a French architect. After a one-night stand, Carrie is shocked to find he has left her $1,000 on the bedside table. Samantha tries to get a reservation at New York's hottest new restaurant, Balzac. Charlotte meets Neville Morgan, a renowned artist who paints pictures of her vagina for his latest exhibition. And now, back to the boys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Here's a little, we ended that episode with a little Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah, that's right. You
know, oh. Okay. I thought maybe.
It's so funny when you guys do this because I can't hear the music.
Oh, yeah, you can't hear what it's
doing.
Music
in the beginning. I can't hear the music now. So
well, I just played
I'm just
a little.
Happy. I
played a little swing music intro for you right there.
I thought it was a reference. I was going to Google it, but I thought maybe it was Cherry Poppin' Daddy's and it was a vagina restaurant.
Speaking of vagina restaurant.
Reference.
Hey, Kevin, all about the vagina restaurant with Vaxi Girl. Go down and go eating out Vaxi Girl at the vagina restaurant. It was Big Bad Voodoo Daddy because that same song is in Swingers, the movie
it
Swingers.
Is in Swingers.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, yeah, what's it gonna be? Remember when swing music
Burger
was
also in Swingers?
Burger? Oh, yeah. Burger's one of the main dudes in Swingers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
That was, I had forgotten how insanely packed that episode is. Like, we walked into that being like, oh, yeah, Amelita, but that episode so many memorable things happen. Amelita, Carrie walks into thin air. That happens in that episode.
Miranda bows up on Skipper for no reason. She's just like, dude, she treats that guy so poorly, man.
It's terrible. She makes fun of him so much.
Like when he comes over to the house and she's just like, get the fuck out of my way, man. What are you doing? I'm just like, come on, Skip.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much of a main character Skipper is too. Like Skipper is in every episode in the first season. You forget about that.
He's there more than, maybe this was like contract stuff, because we talked to Willie Garson about this, but he's in it more than Willie Garson, definitely. Like he's all over. He's definitely like, he's the other guy that you're probably wondering if you're watching this when it came out, like, oh, I don't know if this guy and Miranda are going to end up, but like Skipper's going to be a part of it. He's always going to be dipping in. Something's going to be going on. He's going to be stressed out.
Well, it makes sense as it goes on that he's not in it later, because there's lots of people that it's like, oh yeah, he's basically like Burger. Like he spends as much time as we do with like Burger. But when you're establishing the beginning of something, you're like, you don't know like who's going to be there forever or not, you know?
My question about Skipper though is like Burger is a fling for Carrie, who she meets through her publisher, but like Carrie and Skipper must have been pretty close friends. I mean if he's coming over to her house all the time, he's like hanging out as she's changing clothes, like they must have had a pretty significant
relationship. I looked out for a wandering eye. He was in Miranda land when she was naked.
That was a super interesting thing. There are no wandering eye, and no batting an eye by Carrie about changing in front of Skipper. Like she's just like throwing on a shirt with her, walking around in her bra, and it's not like Carrie is, you know, an exhibitionist or anything. It's just that they are just close platonic friends.
And I just want to know their backstory. I want to know.
That would have been awesome if he was just like, I'm just in love with Miranda. I'm obsessed with this person. I can't get her off my mind. Hey, while you're doing that, can I see your boobs real quick? No, we're friends. Okay. Well, okay. Figured I'd ask. So anyways, I just can't stop thinking about Miranda.
If not your boobs, what about your cunt? Because apparently that's a word that we use a lot.
Dude, it's so funny. Just throw that around. It's the charm that they do it in the UK makes it easier to hear all the time. But it's like, even in this context, you're just like, oof, that's quite a word. I even use it occasionally in like humorous ways. I don't think I've ever used it in like a mean way. But it's one of those words that it hits the ears in quite a way, you know.
It's one of those words where they talk about, I never watched, there's a thing on Netflix about like the history of swear words, which I never watched.
Oh, it's really
like,
good. I watched the first three episodes. It's super interesting.
Well, I wonder if they talk about the way those words are constructed, because like that is a word that has like, it's got like a hard consonant at the front and the back, and it just like it feels like you have power saying it, you know.
Yeah. The crazy thing that I learned, this is the quick and dirty of that show, is that swearing actually increases your pain tolerance.
Really?
Yeah. So like the more you swear, the more pain you can withstand. They did it with the old ice water test, like holding your hand in ice water.
So is it because it gives you some sort of release by using those words?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, and those words themselves hold power. It's not like you're just saying like strawberry, strawberry. Like you're really,
Well, it's kind of interesting the way people feel about language like that, because now it's so much more, you know, when you're growing up, like every family has different rules as to like what you can say and what the line is and everything. But then the older you get, the more you realize like everyone that you know swears at some point. So it's one of those things that is like similar to smoking or booze or any other vice, that it's like people have just different amounts of what they use it. And then you find yourself using it at different times. That's why it was abrasive for him to just be like, yes, it's the cunt. It's like, whoa. But if there'd be other times where you'd hear that guy say it and it wouldn't come off as crazy, but it was like that. It was so casual.
When someone misses a goal and is in his favorite Premier League team, he's like, oh, fucking cunt.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
He's fucking.
Dude, it is so great when you just when you hear like the fun loving way they call people cunts in UK is so great. It's just so playful and so not packed with the intense.
Do we have anything like that? Do we have a word like that there where like people in UK are like the great way that Americans call each other?
I don't know. Like
slapdick, pickle dick? Like what is it?
Or maybe just dick in general? Like, is it just like, oh, that guy? No, but no one lovingly is like, oh, he's my best dick. Like that doesn't really exist.
Kevin, he's my main dick.
Kevin's my good dick.
I'm a detective.
He's a private dick. A private dick walked down the street.
I am your main dick.
John, we were playing music again.
Oh, great. Yeah, once again, I'm just like, how come shit gets weird every single time?
I'm happy for Charlotte to express herself that way. Mm-hmm. You know what? Listen, wait, while we're on Skipper, let's just, this is a good in because we have a really great Insta discussion and poll on Skipper. Feel like could be a good jump off for him. So our poll was, do you typically like nice guys like Skipper Johnston? Mm-hmm. 25%, 284 people said no, yes, or said yes. 869 people said no, 75%.
Okay, wow. So a lot of people said they don't like nice guys like Skipper.
Yeah, don't like nice guys. But then here
is Skipper though too nice? Like
This is what we got. That's awesome. He's not a nice guy. He's a pushover. Big difference. That was someone's response.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think they were answering the question more, do you like someone like Skipper or do you like nice? Because I consider myself a nice guy. I think we're all like all three of us are nice.
Yeah. I would say we're someone's best dick. You know, anyone's going to be like, he's a good dick.
Like,
you
I
know?
Feel like if, nice guys for bringing that goes in. Along with like, I feel like parents of significance would really like us, you know,
yes,
they would like enjoy.
I think we've all been had the happy privilege to have come from like, you know, great families. Our parents did a great job. We've had some good friends. I think that we are three nice dudes, nice gentlemen.
Yeah, so like,
I don't know if we would all, but I think that the big thing is like, oh, he's not a nice guy, he's a pushover. Another person said he's too clingy and too young, and it said maybe we all dated a Skipper, which I'm guessing like maybe that's a thing that women go through, you know, early on where you like date a guy that's like super clingy and young. I mean, I will say this, he is pretty clingy.
You're also, when you're saying nice, like people are saying different things because you can be.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, totally. Because I think like when, you know, it's on like you go between like nice guy being like really polite and you're thinking like Ned Flanders or like someone like smoking a cigarette and just be like, I'm busy, bitch, you know, and it's like and the hottest guy ever. And it's like, no, it's not that. Like what you want with any person, it's sexy to be. It's sexy to be polite and nice and pursue someone. And it's also sexy to not just be like,
title. It's sexy to be polite.
It's sexy to be polite. Please, can I lick your cunt?
Oh, gosh.
With sugar on top.
And as he asked me that, please.
Oh, Jesus. Music playing again?
Music playing again. We got to fix your monitor so you can hear it.
But I
will say this, the Bradshaw boys do a very good job by accident of weaving in our technical mistakes. If you've been listening to the podcast for a little while, you will remember an episode about 5-6 episodes ago when we just left in a 3-minute conversation between me and Kevin of him trying to fix his headphones.
And that was all constructed to show how authentic we are.
What I want you to do is one of these times when I don't even know it's happening. I just want you to play me a soundtrack to one of my dumb monologues.
I actually think that Carrie represents this part of females well. Her relationship with Big is...
I just played you a Take Me Out to the Ball Game theme when you did that. Man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Wait, so hold on. We were on a good point about of nice guys
what
is sexy.
What nice means, yeah.
What nice means, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that in this episode, I didn't even think about this, but like that while you're seeing the Skipper stuff, you have this other kind of nice guy that is pursuing Carrie that ends up giving her $1,000. But like that guy's nice, but he's kind of got this like smoldering Italian European thing going that is very un-Skipper. And like it's kind of juxtaposed because that's happening while Skipper's talking about Miranda.
They did some hard Petrovsky foreshadowing of that guy.
Oh, they did some real hard Petrovsky foreshadowing.
Move to Paris with me and be alone.
Yeah.
Let me touch your booty.
He was French, but still.
He was French. That's right.
He did ask her to move to Paris, which.
Yeah, that's true.
Running theme. I think he's one of three guys who asks her to move to Paris in the show. That's a trivia question I don't think a lot of people would get right. Who are the three guys that asked Carrie to move to Paris?
Yeah, not a lot of people would remember.
Big and Heel. Did Big ever ask her? I got the no eyes from Katie. It looks like there's only two guys that ever asked her to go to Paris.
Yeah, I don't think Big asked her. I think Big just said, I'm going to Paris.
I'm going back to
Paris, Paris. This is a really interesting one because I feel like we're getting like information, very valuable information, but we're giving it out. It's not just for us. But it says, do you typically date nice guys? If not, why? Ooh. And the main response, the most popular response was simply people, and this is not them clicking, this is them writing it back. We got tons of they don't exude sexual confidence.
Oh.
And it's funny because I find it hard to be I don't know how to do that besides you be yourself and like not be like Skipper being like I like Captain Crunch. But it's
there's another one in that thing that says pick me boys. Pick me in quotes like hey, pick me.
True.
Yeah.
But it's like it is funny that confidence comes from like you can't put into words like what cool and what confidence is because it is like very intangible. And even if you did learn it, it wouldn't be like a quick fix. It's like learning to be yourself and then being okay with whatever. And so it seems like all that is really well written in Skipper in that it's like, dude, just like, and we've talked about this, that we're like, that he probably grew out of it and then is like in a good relationship and rich now. And is like, if we saw him again, we'd be like, holy shit, Skipper's like a man. So this character is written to be a boy who it's like, you're fine. If you like dressed a little different, like if you did like a makeover and were a little more comfortable with yourself, everyone would think you're like the sexiest guy.
But see, I think the problem that you run into this like line of thinking, because I do agree, is that if those boy figures hear this, then they start acting like what they think the opposite of a nice guy is. And then you just get like negging assholes who are like trying to peacock and like be dicks for the sake of being dicks when they're really just nice guys acting like wolves. You know what I mean?
And I agree with you, but I don't think that's what you should get from what I just said. Because what I just said is you should be comfortable that includes rejection.
No, you run the risk of like a guy reading this. Like if I were in high school and I read this and I was like, oh man, like women don't like nice guys, then I need to be not nice. And then you're starting. And I think that's why like people like we talked about the pickup artist and that fake pickup artist that we were reading a little bit ago. Like why those people exist. And that's why people probably like read their shit and are like, oh, this is who I should be. Because if I am a Skipper, naturally I have to be opposite of Skipper, which is wearing a Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat and telling a girl that her arms are big or something like that.
You're talking about peacocking and negging? Yeah.
I'm talking about peacock and negging.
Well, like peacock and negging, bro.
I want to know, I would like to know if there are any like very good, not pickup artists, but like guy coaches that can explain how to be more attractive to women. Yeah, I know. I don't need that.
I know one. His name's motherfucking Hitch.
That's exactly say, that's Hitch. Right. That's Hitch right there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will like Hitch. I mean, the things in Hitch are not, they don't, they're not negative. They're not, yeah. You know, they're, I think.
Dude, if they did a special episode of Hitch where he was working with Skipper, oh man, take all of my money. Will Smith, Ben Weber, you guys.
We
make
already
that
know
happen.
Ben Weber. We just need to get in contact with Will Smith.
Dude, could you imagine how sick that would be?
We have half the equation.
Why don't we do it? Dude, why don't next time we have Ben Weber on, we do a full-on hitch.
We pitch a full-on.
We pitch Hitch.
What does Carrie say to Skipper? I mean, she kind of just gets dressed and is like, oh, this guy's lost the plot.
She goes and washes her hands.
Yeah,
washes her hand. That is awesome though that he doesn't shower. He just like wants to smell like Miranda.
Well, he talks it's about
like,
he
he's coding his Mad Magazine website and he's just like
smelling his fingers.
Yeah, no, Carrie has his. I think she puts his hand on her hand on his leg to kind of comfort him, and then when he says "smell like Miranda," she kind of like takes it off and is like, "Yeah." Gross.
What are our three pieces of advice to Skipper right now?
I would say one is just like relax, just like, yo, relax and play it cool. Like, I know that you're super into her, but like, just step back a little bit, you know, like
yourself. So hard to play it cool.
It's so hard to play it cool.
The last girl that I liked, I didn't play it cool with. And I knew as I was doing it.
What'd you do?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, talk about it.
It's so funny when I actually get embarrassed because I feel it in my I feel it from the inside.
That's so like interesting because I know what you're you want to fuck yourself like an animal. No, I get that though but you're not an embarrassable person that much. Yeah, so it's like
that's
a real thing.
I like this because I could see Kevin kind of starting to step back and I want to hear how'd you not play?
Okay,
cool?
Yeah, go for
this
it.
This is the good advice.
I tried to play it cool, but I couldn't because I told you guys about the girl.
Yeah.
We went on a date. She messaged me from Hinge and commented on my myriad of jean jackets, which I was already like, that's awesome. Cause I have like three different ones in pictures.
On
she's
profile.
Like, that's great. I'd like to know more about all these denim jackets you have.
Are you sponsored by Levi's?
And I was like, dude, I am in the pocket right now. I am so fucking primed to be able to talk about this subject. We went on a first awesome date, walked around New York. It was like very like hung out in a park, made out, conversations flowing the whole time.
On the first date, made out in a park?
Yeah.
Look at that.
She left you $1,000 and that was the end of it.
And that was
then
the end.
You were like, then you called me and John and got us room service and we talked about Camille Paglia. Yeah, totally. I was like, Samantha quoted Camille Paglia. I was like, what?
She had some power over me. But but no, then it was like, checked in a few days later. And then it was hard to lock down the second date. So I was like, but it went really well. Locked in the second date. Second date was even better. And then in longer, it was like 9 hours long. Great. Ended with
what
make
was
out.
Second date? Can I ask what second date was?
Second date, we went to Cold Spring. We went upstate for a day and just drove around, and then it was just like texted a few days later, check in, got a response, but it was like busy, and then I was like, we talked for a little bit, then texted again like 2 days later, and I was like, I'm losing it, but it's not my fault because you can't help. But then the final thing, I was like, I literally was just like, the plane's going down. I was like, I just need to not feel a knot in my stomach. So I just texted her and I was just like, gave like a hard question on plans. And then she was like, oh, I'm going to be busy like tomorrow. Sorry, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I just texted her. I got that response. Then I just called her.
Oh, really?
I just called her and it went to her voicemail. And so I
dude, speaking of swingers,
like, Yeah, the plane's going down. So I sent her a text and then I just drove it right into the side of
and
the
plane. The
plane's going down. I grabbed the freaking handlebars of the plane. I opened the black box and I shot it with a gun three times.
I lit myself on fire.
Yeah. It was like, it was me, three requests in a row to like hang out that were like, not like, they were like, and I was just like, I can't take this anymore. I honestly don't want another week of like figuring out the correct way to ask. And I was just like, whatever. And then I just texted her. I was like, hey, I just called. I called to see where you were at, and then no response. And I was like, oh, it's over. And then the next morning I woke up and she was like, you were a wonderful gentleman. I had a wonderful time. I'm not interested in a third date. And I was like, see,
dude,
as I called, she's either going to answer, be like, how are you? Or just be like, oh gosh, this guy's calling me. And I was like, but I don't know. That was like the last time I felt like a skipper.
Well, should you drop her a picture of your new jean jacket and just be like, got a fourth, want to talk about it and see what happens?
That's true. Yeah, I know. Do that.
I know. Even though she's totally just been like, she's absolutely just been like, I would not like a third date. It was great to meet you. I'm like, I feel like I can get this back somehow.
I mean, that's the heart of a champion right there. That's somebody. Yeah.
Show up early to her friend's poker night and tell her that you'll wait outside, and then, you know, when you walk by, she'll.
I'm just exuding sexual confidence. There's 23 girls on our Instagram that said this is what women want. No, I will not respond to her again. Don't worry, listeners, or Corey and John. I'm not going to do that.
I'm gonna be encouraging you very hard to reach out one last time.
Dude, she listened to the podcast and she liked the podcast, but I was also like,
oh, she probably heard one of your hot takes and is like,
no, that was no. She went on a second date after that. Okay. She was just like, she was probably just like, sounds like he masturbates a lot. Sounds like this character masturbates a lot, Kevin.
But I do feel like if we can keep on this train for just a second, when it was happening, I didn't feel like you were skippering super hard. I was like, oh, you're, and I could tell, I was like, oh, you're excited about this person. Like you, like, it, yeah, it was, you were actually excited about it. And there are some times where I'm like, I mean, I will say, I'm not trying to like needle you, but like, I think it is more your personality to be like, look, I just, you got to get answers. All right. You got to investigate this. You got to step up and do it. And, but I don't know if you could have done anything differently. I mean, it sounds like you planned good dates, you know?
No. Well, I think that's like what was interesting about watching this episode is being like, once you're aware of it's like Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights when he's doing the interview, he's just like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, you feel completely normal, or it's like playing the game Mafia is what I feel like sometimes. That's like, is like, you're completely normal. You're living your life and then you like a person and you're like, just be yourself. And then if you aren't in a perfect place or you don't get the exact response, you're like, who is myself? And what do I do? And what's this person thinking? And then you get all kinds of stuff that you, depending on what friend you talk to and knowing yourself, it's just like, just go for it, man. Girls love that.
You think if Skipper could just like literally get out of his own head and you're just like, take a step out of your head, don't think about how you relate to Miranda right now, and just think about like your next website that you're developing, that would be like the good first step for him? Because you think like just like him being like him ping-ponging around inside of his own head is causing him to overthink it and come off as like desperate? Is like one of the major problems he's having.
Yeah, and desperation comes from being like, I think self-involved, and that's not necessarily attractive. It's like, I'm confident in myself, and like, I hope this person feels the same about me. I hope Miranda does. And there are certain things that you can do, but at the end, it's like, it's the stress of like caring if another person is going to desire you and accept you and care for you in the way that you do for them. And I feel like you definitely can learn that or be better or worse at it, but I feel like it's almost like a longer journey that you can't specifically say. Like, that's why I think when we think about Skipper, we think about him learning those lessons and then looking at younger him and being like, I wonder where he's at now. Because I feel like usually you can't learn those in relationships unless you have like that hard conversation sitting on like the edge of your bed where Katie maybe early on was just like, you can't, like, I really like you and you can't ask me all these questions or whatever. I'm not saying you and Katie had that, but like, those happen in relationships, but then it's not fixed through the conversation. It's probably a deeper thing.
Yeah.
When you're in the relationship, that's like, oh, I'm afraid she's cheating. Or like, I want to talk to this person because my job's not going well. And they said that they can't talk to me about that all the time because it's like, it's too early in the, or all those little things, but it's ultimately based on you wanting this other person to care for you.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's where I think Skipper's at.
I'd love to switch gears slightly and talk about Amelita being Eurotrash. I know we talked about that ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, Carrie leans in for a one-to-one with the camera and mentions that most people think Amelita is Eurotrash. Our listeners didn't feel the same way about Amelita, though.
Yeah, they were like, she was like, most people thought she was Eurotrash. I think the line was like, but she was actually fun. And our listeners thought that she was definitely fun and not Eurotrash. And I would agree.
Like, what is the definition of Eurotrash?
Dude, I think Eurotrash is like, I think she's too classy to be Eurotrash. Mm. Eurotrash to me is like a Norwegian woman that goes to, who's like in her late 50s, or not even late 50s, in her 60s, and wears like a black t-shirt that's all slitted up, and she wears like leather pants and goes to like all night clubs in Berlin. Like, that to me would be Eurotrash. You're just like,
Eurotrash is a derogatory term for certain Europeans, particularly those perceived to be arrogant, affluent, and expatriates in the United States. And it was coined by
the US.
It was coined by a Greek writer, Taki Theridopakopoulos.
Yeah, he invented Takis.
Are you serious?
All right, here we go.
No.
Here's the Urban Dictionary. Eurotrash. A human subphylum characterized by its apparent affluence, worldliness, social affectation, and addiction to fashion.
Okay.
Males are characterized by semi-slovenly appearance, including half-shaven faces, greasy hair, rib-hugging t-shirts, tight jeans, and loafers worn without socks. Women are easily distinguished by anorexia, overbleached hair, gaudy jewelry, plastic surgery, particularly breast enlargement, and their attachment to the male species. Both sexes greet each other with air kisses, immediately speak of their last trip, often to Paris, Rome, or Morocco, spend hours at seen and be seen restaurants, and exhibit a world weariness and painted pain sense of irony. By that definition, then she's 100%.
Yeah, but I kind of, I feel
your
like for the guys,
awesome, though.
Yeah, I want to be Eurotrash.
I feel like for the guys, I mean, I think this would make more sense for us, but Eurotrash for the guys is guys that shop at Century 21. In Manhattan, rest in peace. Like, where
all
they would buy those, like,
trash.
Yeah, I mean,
that's great.
You could do it. It's not hard. You got to get big sunglasses, like big square ones that look like you just got your eyes checked out.
I didn't even know what Eurotrash ever was, but I want to be Eurotrash.
I mean, I guess by that definition, she is, but she also seems fun. She doesn't she seems like a more genuine person, though.
Corey, you sent a text while we were watching the episode. Can I read what your text says?
Yes. I don't really remember what it is.
You said, Amelita is Ghislaine Maxwell and Carrie is trafficked.
Well,
Amelita does have a Ghislaine vibe.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ghislaine. I thought it was Ghislaine.
I mean, I think it's Gil.
I'm going to look up how to pronounce it.
I don't know.
I definitely don't think it's Jizz Lane. I do think Jeffrey Epstein's street he lived on was Jizz Lane, but I don't think.
I'm going to look it up. I guess it's French. Oh, it's Ghislaine. I think it should be Jizz Lane for forever now.
I think it should be Jizz Avenue.
I actually don't disagree with you. I think
it seems like Amelie. Wait, say that again. Sorry, John. What?
At the end, when the guy was playing grab ass with Carrie, like, she was definitely trying to just bring Carrie around and pimp her off to some of her Euro friends.
It does kind of feel like she's like, this is my hot young New York friend. Actually, yeah. This is now making me see Amelita a little differently, that she's like, and she was even like the guy that she was with at the beginning that Amelita was. She was like, he has a tiny penis, but he knows how to use it. And like, she is just kind of pimping herself, or not pimping herself out, but yeah, pimping Carrie out. She also smokes that Cruella de Vil cigarette at that one point.
Those things rip.
Yeah, those things are awesome. I think
definitely rocking the Cruella de Vil holder.
I think we should.
Let's talk about Samantha's thing, because that goes into the entire Amelita thing with the thing. It's like,
I want to ask one question about. I guess this is like what you're getting into. So sorry for my rude interruption.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, like, there is something that it's like, if money is power, and money is just one form of exchange. I don't know. It's just interesting to talk about this. Like, what is the word? It's the oldest profession in the world, being a prostitute. Everyone says that's the oldest profession in the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I guess, just, we have some great responses to that, but like, what do we think of this? Should Carrie be insulted? Should she just like go for it and do this?
I think she could be confused.
How did the guy get the idea? Like, that idea had to come from Amelita.
Do you think it's supposed to be confused with rich guy thinking that he's like, well, I will show this girl a nice time in town, you know? Like, I know she's here. I give her, you know, I take her out to dinner, and then she gets to have room service with all this cash. But $1,000 is, you know, feels like prostitute vibes. But I wonder if it's clear that it's like what you're saying. Throw his money around and be like, hey, do your deal. It's a little different when it's in your city. You're not on like vacation with this person. You're like, I live 10 blocks from here, and you just gave me $1,000. Like, that feels a little bit like prostitution.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe he just didn't make her come, and he was like, sorry, here's $1,000 because I couldn't get you off with my tiny penis.
No, he didn't have the tiny penis.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming birds of a feather flock together.
I just like, so Carrie mentioned to Amelita that she doesn't have money, and then Amelita calls her late at night to come hang out with someone who then gives her money after sex. Like, the easiest explanation for that is this guy's like, I really want to meet a woman. And Amelita's like, oh, I know someone who is looking for money. Like, if you like, you could probably take her out and make sure to like give her some cash. And this guy is like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. I'm sure that's where my mind goes, is that like Amelita mentioned that to him, and he was like, oh, this is just like a high class prostitute showgirl. Amelita's gonna call her, bring her here, introduce me.
But I never thought about what you're saying, John, is kind of interesting, because I never thought about the fact that Carrie's in bed and she's like, I'm trying to kind of tighten the belt, you know, cut back a little bit.
Yeah, Amelita drags her out.
I never thought about that.
I actually find it to be very interesting now with like, and we even got this on the Instagram, a lot of people talking about like sex work. And I think the discourse around sex work is definitely more nuanced, and there's more opinions on the table than there would have been 20 years ago. I think it'd be a lot more like, you're either a prostitute, a stripper, or like Chris Rock's like whole joke that's just like, you have one job as a father, to keep your daughter off the pole. Like, that's his whole joke. And I think now there is that. And so it's like, if this episode was happening now, I think it would very clearly be about, you know, OnlyFans, or having like, you know, basically a lot of people that have like Cash App or Venmo in their thing and like send out nudes. There's like a market for that.
It's interesting that Carrie like never like interacts or writes a column about sex work in the series that I can remember off the top of my head.
Wait, what was her column in this one? What was the question?
I think about power and love.
Power.
I don't write. Yeah. I don't write down the questions anymore. I just watch the episode like everyone else and just kind of float away and enjoy it, like she did.
Hey, speaking of floating away, right? Sorry, I cut you off, John, because you were going for that same thing that I just cut you off with. I'm sorry.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. This episode, by the way, was directed by the same woman who directed the pilot and another episode, Susan Seidelman. So it's interesting because this one had so many like different like in your face camera things going on. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Carrie walked into the sky at one point too.
Also, the she did this like tracking, not tracking shot, but it was like this the slow one shot they're playing poker.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like it could have gone on for like they very easily could have made it like a full thing, but it's like just the first 30 seconds of it is so like elegantly cinematically done that you're like they're playing poker, then they like shoot over as they're each talking. It's like very beautiful camera work.
They also do the zoom in pull back thing on Carrie at one point, which is it's like the dolly zoom trick. They do it in Goodfellas. They do it in Jaws. Mm-hmm. It's like a classic. Like,
yeah,
it's like the camera is getting closer, but you see the back pulling back, and it makes you feel like, oh, what the heck is happening? There's like a bunch of that in this one.
Who's the best poker player out of the four women, and why?
I feel like it's got to be Samantha because she's aggressive, and I would go between Samantha and Miranda, but I feel like Samantha
gets cleaned out in the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like Samantha is aggressive and unhinged enough to take more risks in poker.
Ah, interesting.
I feel like Charlotte is the one who would win and be like, "Oh my gosh, how'd I do that?" and like end up like taking everyone's money in a couple runs, but she doesn't really understand what she's doing.
Can we go through these responses of the Amelita thing? Because I feel like there's a lot from the ladies. There's like
I was going to say, we were just talking about the episode stuff. Darren Starr wrote this, but another interesting fact is the story was written by Jinji Kohan. She created the show Weeds and Orange is the New Black. So she did the whole story for this episode. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like a very successful person.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, it'd be crazy to look at all the people that wrote and like all the shows they've created now. Because,
dude. Yeah, totally. Sorry. I have another
spiderweb.
What was the spiderweb?
Just the spiderweb of people that got their start on this show.
I was like, I never saw the spiderweb. What was that?
Yeah, Kiss of the Spider Woman was written by
a TBS show.
Yeah.
Hey, what restaurant did Balzac remind you of?
I don't know.
New York City restaurant. Balthazar. It was supposed to be Balthazar.
I was going to say that. Okay.
It feels so much like Balthazar. It feels like an uncool version of Balthazar, though. It wasn't that. It was Balthazar is much cooler than that.
My, first of all, Balthazar has like some of the fucking best croissants you'll ever have. They're insane.
Their bakery is incredible.
Hell. They're super flaky, but they're super doughy. They're the best croissant I've ever had. And they also
you've been to Paris.
Yeah.
Couple times.
And there's some pretty good croissants over there too. They know what they're doing. I'm Euro trash.
Yeah,
I just got rid of my French accent. All right. These are the wide variety of responses we have from Would You Rather Be Carrie or Amelita?
Ooh.
First of all, do you guys have the do you guys want to guess what the percentages are? There were over 1,000 votes.
I would say
I think 72% says they'd rather be Carrie.
I think it's 60% says they want to be Carrie.
65% Carrie, 35%
right between the two of us.
Look at that, John.
She has some serious issues when you strip the act. That's Amelita. Someone said neither. And there was a lot of people that said neither. This one's interesting. Looks fade. Amelita is fun now, but where will she be in 10 to 15 years?
Wow.
That's true.
Like one of those big pieces of tin foil that like is angled like this that she holds up when she tans like out on like a
in South
hotel.
Beach.
Yeah, down in South Beach or like outside of a French hotel.
Yeah.
I also think people like that though, like even if you're not developing skills, like she'll have so many contacts, she'll be able to like dip in and just be like, no, work in the art world. Like those people like that, like are hustlers too. Like she might not be making money now. If she flips a switch and needs to make money, she has contacts, you know?
Yeah.
Been burnt by so many genuine men. Might as well try this the other way. Someone said, amazing lifestyle. Amelita, she knew what she was about and made no excuses for it. And then someone says Carrie because Carrie is free. It's pretty deep.
Mm. Ooh, that is interesting. Very deep.
Carrie is a judgmental bitch over Amelita. She's the queen and she's getting hers. And then the next person said Carrie's more grounded. And then someone said, this is my favorite one. Fun is good, but it's also exhausting to be fun all the time.
Huh. That's yeah, that's true. That's
like
true.
Literally my past 10 years of living in New York. Fun is good, but I'm fucking tired.
That's why you made that phone call finally. You're like, listen, I've been fun for two dates. What's the deal here?
What's the deal?
Cool. We're done with this. Thanks. Cool. I can rest up now.
On to the next.
Wow. This
was a great episode. There's a lot of good discussion. Thank you so much for listening, for joining us on this ride. Season one, super episode packed. 5.
Super packed.
Yeah. If you all want to hear the, as Corey mentioned, the even episodes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, you know, even numbers, you can find those on our Patreon. $5 unlocks all of the even episodes that we're going to be talking about leading up to the
so
new,
if you
want to
hear
show.
Also,
secret,
if you
our secret also, Patreon is where you can find episode 6, Secret Sex. Secret Sex.
Also,
on our Patreon.
If you want to hear the first time that we discuss this episode, check the show notes. We'll put a link to the first time we ever watched The Power of Female Sex. It's in the show notes wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the music's going right now, John.
Thank you for tuning into the Bradshaw Boys. And as we always say, let's do it all at once together, guys. 1, 2, 3. Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.